T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul Dottino. He's brought to you by United Healthcare and their Oxford products by RE/MAX. Visit RE/MAX.com to find your home and agent now. By CSEA, Local 830, we work for you. And by Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all, one of the great giants of all time, Paul Dottino is with us. Paul, how are you?
Guys, it has been so long. I'm going to wish you a very late happy Thanksgiving, since, of course, we haven't spoken in, it seems like, years.
It does. It feels like a century
ago. It really does.
Well, things are better now for the Giants,
right,
at least from a win-loss perspective.
Since we haven't talked to you, the Giants have won 3 out of 4. You should be happy about it.
Well, I can't take any credit for that, Joe. I'm going to give all the credit to the offensive line, because, quite frankly, those guys are playing pretty good football right now. I would say that this fourth edition of the Giants offensive line, which finally manifested itself coming out of the bye week when Jamon Brown was claimed off waivers from the Rams, he has made a huge difference. And the week before the bye, when they put Spencer Pulley into the lineup as the starting center against the Redskins, as it happened to be, it just seems to me that, you know, it's this edition of the line that is playing functional football. They're not great. They're not all pros. They're not blowing people away, but they're playing functional football. That has allowed the running game to flourish. It has allowed Eli Manning to do what he does and flourish. And the Giants now have scored over 20 points in 4 consecutive games after earlier in the season only doing it twice. It's quite a turnaround.
And I think a lot of credit on this goes to Dave Gettleman. And there are moves you can get on him for, but I thought what was nice is that instead of sitting around and waiting and watching the offensive line fail, he made moves. He got rid of Eric Flowers. They benched him early on. He got rid of Patrick Omame, which was one of his signings, and basically admitted, hey, this didn't work out. Let's move on. He was aggressive in getting Jamon Brown, who you just talked about. They made the changes at center. Obviously, it started with the injury. So he's been active in trying to improve it. Obviously, patience with Nate Solder to turn his season around. Patience with Will Hernandez. But I think Gettleman showed an aggressiveness early to get it right with this offensive line.
Well, let's not forget the fact that Spencer Pulley was picked up off waivers from the Chargers right before opening day. He had undergone off-season knee surgery, and he wasn't ready at the beginning of the season, and they were able to kind of bring him along. And then as the center position had the injury, as you mentioned, to Jalapio, and then Greco filled in there for a couple of games, which certainly Greco held his own, but it wasn't still working the way it should. He was a natural guard who was out of position. Pulley is a natural center. You know, he started 16 games with the Chargers last year. Well, since his insertion, and then, as you said, Brown, these two guys, they are the evidence, as you said, of Gettleman's assertiveness. Hey, if you make a mistake, guys don't get to stay here on scholarship. You're not doing the job, you're out. We're going to get somebody who will produce.
Now, where do you stand now on Eli back as the quarterback next year? Where are you on that right now?
Well, I'm not going to change my stance, Joe. I told you this back in the summer. I told you this early in the season in September and in October and in November. I'm going to tell you in December. Eli Manning, unless he is injured or suddenly loses his arm strength, I fully expect him to be the starter week one 2019 for the New York Football Giants.
I'll give you credit on this, Paul. I think a month ago when you said that, I kind of said, he's going to be wrong about that. As we sit here today,
yeah, you can't dismiss it now.
I think it's moving towards being greater than 50-50 that you're right. I think the pendulum has moved on that it's probably more likely than not that he is the starting quarterback week one 2019.
He's got a functional offensive line. Guys, I'm so sorry, but it's elementary. Without a functional offensive line, it was going to be very difficult for almost any quarterback to excel. I mean, you want to talk about a scrambler, you know, the obviously modern-day Russell Wilson. Okay, maybe he could have bought some time. Maybe he could have won a game or two more because he was just running around like a maniac with his legs. But the fact remains 90% of the quarterbacks or 95% of the quarterbacks in this league could not have functioned behind the way that that offensive line was playing the first half of the year. It's so elementary, it's not even funny. And I think the thing that really boggles the mind, when you see the impact it's had on Barkley, obviously, the last 3 weeks now, he's had over 100 yards rushing in each of the last three games. So he's on his best roll. And at the same time, not only is the run blocking better, which allows Eli to keep people off balance, which allows the play action pass, one of his best facets, to come back into play again, it also allows Eli to line up over center more, which is another way to keep a defense off balance. If you look at the games where the Giants have scored more than 20 points, there's been seven of them this year, okay? In those games, Manning has dropped back an average of 36 times a game. In the games where they scored less than 20 points, he dropped back an average of 48 times a game. When you are one-dimensional like that and you're just chucking it all over the field, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get beat. It's that simple.
What is your view? I remember what we talked about last year with Davis Webb. What's your view on Kyle Uletta? Do you like him as a future quarterback prospect, as a starter in this league?
I think Kyle Uletta, to me, was drafted in the fourth round because they saw him as a future backup quarterback prospect.
Okay?
That's what I see. I see a Jeff Rutledge type, if you can turn back the clock. I know you can, Joe. You're in my age category.
Well, I'm older.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't want to say that, though.
I'm older than everybody. I mean, you can't.
but that's what I see out of Uletta. I think he's going to be an adequate backup in this league. I think he probably could start some games if you needed him to. And maybe potentially he could be an okay NFL starter. But to even suggest that he's the next franchise guy, I don't see that based on the tape from college. Based on where he was drafted, I think that tells you an awful lot too. You know, if you drafted a guy in the fourth round, you're not necessarily thinking he's the next franchise guy. And moving forward, you know, again, he seems very cerebral. He's got a terrific mentality, and I think that the Giants still view him as somebody who could be on the roster in the future. I just don't think they think he's the next franchise guy.
So where and when do they get the next franchise guy? Because you compare Davis Webb to Kerry Collins, which is not a backup in this league, was a starter. So they obviously still need to find that guy. Even if Eli's the starter next year at 38, when and where are they getting the next guy? Are they getting it in the draft this year?
Well, you have heard, I'm sure, and it's true. Dave Gettleman has been spotted around some college games in the last month, taking a personal look and view at some of the top quarterback prospects who may be in this draft. It is my opinion that if they draft a quarterback, and I think they're probably going to pick somewhere in the area of 8th, 9th, 10th.
Agreed.
Somewhere probably there. I don't think they're going to be any higher than that. I just don't.
I agree.
No, I'm with you. They'll win more games.
Okay, so if the Oregon kid comes out, which is 50-50, he's going to go quicker than that. So he's not going to be there. And there's nobody from the draft people that I've talked to, the scouts I've talked to and the draft people I've talked to, who believe that there is a quarterback who is worth a high to middling first round draft pick outside of the Oregon kid.
What do you think?
So that means to me, the Giants take a pass rusher there.
What do you think of the kid? What do you think of Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State if he comes out? I'm just throwing
Joe,
the name out. I don't know how much you've watched him, but I'm just asking you.
I've only seen him once. I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough for me to judge.
Okay.
You know, I'd want to watch more. I haven't done any of my scouting. I'm simply giving you right now what I've been told by some others. It's secondhand knowledge. I will get in, believe me. You know me. I'm stunned, extensive tape on 150 prospects as we get to the combine.
I'm stunned you have not done any of this yet.
It's December.
I got a month of regular season to go.
Bro, what are you doing on Saturday? I mean, come on. Let's go.
Watching tape for Sunday.
Yeah, right, I guess.
You're talking about.
Remember now, I also do play-by-play for the Northeast Conference. I just got done doing an eight-game college football schedule.
But anyway, here's my point to you guys.
I think the Giants, in their spot, a premier pass rusher or a stud offensive lineman is the most likely scenario with their first-round pick. If they see somebody who they really like in the second round, who maybe they think could be the next franchise guy, who, you know, has a red chip, not a blue chip, but maybe a red chip guy, maybe they take a QB in the second round, but he's going to sit behind Eli for a year. That's just the way it's going to be.
And by the way, looking at, there's a website called tankathon.com, and they give you the updated rankings on draft order, the tiebreakers. It is not crazy to think, especially if the Giants play well, and then look, they're favored to beat the Redskins this weekend, that they could drop more to 11, 12,
yeah, I could see that.
13, especially with the free fall of teams like the Cincinnati Bengals and even the Green Bay Packers if they ever decide to sit down or shut down Aaron Rodgers for the year. So you never know. They could actually be picking further away than 7 or 8. But, Paul, most important thing, Landon Collins, has he played his final game as a New York Giant?
I don't believe so. The rehab for the shoulder surgery is going to be 4 to 6 months. He is expected to be ready in time, you know, for next year in terms of off-season preparation, potentially mini camp. The Giants have the franchise tag, and they also have the transition tag available at their disposal. And I would think that coming off the injury, providing the surgery is successful, it makes the most sense for them probably to give him a transition tag. Because I think teams around the NFL, even if they're interested in him, coming off the surgery, that will cool their jets a little bit. And so if you're the Giants, you put the transition tag on him. You have the right to match any kind of offer he gets. I don't think he's going to get blown out of the water because he's coming off of shoulder surgery. And at the same time, you save a little money because the transition tag doesn't force you to pay at the one-year rate that a franchise tag would force you to pay.
Interesting. What's going on with Ingram? Is he playing, or what's the deal with him this week?
He's out there at practice. We were out there just about an hour ago. Lorenzo Carter was doing some stuff on his sore hamstring in individual drills. So I think there's a chance for him. Much better shot, though, for Ingram. He seemed to be running around a lot more than Carter was. He, of course, missed last week with the hammy as well. And, you know, that's a big deal for the Giants because if they are going to do some damage against the Redskins, Sterling Shepard has painful rib cartilage that he hurt in the game last week in the win over Chicago. I don't know. I know he's going to play. He's a gamer. He's already told everybody he's going to play. He's already practiced in full this week, but he's hurting. And I don't know. I mean, it hurts to walk. It hurts to run. It hurts to breathe. Rib cartilage is nasty stuff.
Sounds like
so
me.
I don't know that he can be much of a featured guy in the game. I mean, he'll be out there, but I think they're going to need Ingram really to step up and become more of a featured player right away.
Give me your view. What are we, 12 games into the season now? All right, 12 games into the season.
Yeah.
Your view on Coach Pat Shurmur.
Pat Shurmur, to me, has done a marvelous job of executing what Dave Gettleman wanted in terms of growing the character of the locker room, making sure guys gel together, the all-for-one, one-for-all mentality. Don't complain about what's going wrong. Just try to find a way to fix it. Next man up if it's got to be that way. And everyone's being held accountable. You don't get it done, you lose snaps. It's that simple. If you know, or for that matter, as you said, Flowers and Omame off the team. These guys, Gettleman and Shurmur, have acted very well in concert with each other. They're obviously on the same page.
Yeah, but Paul,
and they are clearly...
you had to have expected more than 4-8. I mean, the season's been kind of a disaster when you look at it from a win-loss perspective.
Well, but see, here's the thing, Evan.
What?
Honestly, the one thing that the Giants had to go through with that horrible first half of an offensive line, it was that bad. It really sabotaged them in a lot of ways, although you could certainly argue the 63-yard field goal that beat them in Carolina.
That was a killer, no doubt.
The bad calls and the bad bounce against the Saints. Remember when the Saints lost a fumble at the 3-yard line at the end of the game on a kick? Ray Armstrong had to go right through his hands.
The Eagle game.
You know, that was a game they just muffed away. And quite frankly, the double holding penalty on Odell Beckham in the end zone in Philadelphia 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I mean, despite the fact that this team has done a lot of lackluster things and mistakes to shoot itself in the foot, they're probably only a penalty flag or two or a bounce away from being a 6 or 7 win team right now. So, no, I don't think they have performed you know, as the dreg of the league. I think they are much more in the middle of that quicksand of mediocrity that is the NFL today. And I think what you will find by the end of the season, they'll have at least 6 wins, maybe 7, maybe even finish 8-8. And then suddenly, after being 1-7 with a makeshift offensive line for the first half of the season, suddenly, 7-9, 8-8 is going to be something that kind of deserves a gold star for the job that they did. I would only say one thing, and I know you guys got to run. Pat Shurmur's doing one thing that I totally disagree with.
What's that?
And I've said this to you guys for years. As a head coach, I would never call the plays in this league. I know there's about 8 guys in the league who do it.
Right.
There are a few guys who've been successful at doing it. I disagree with it. I have always said this, and I disagreed when McAdoo was doing it. Never, ever call the plays as you're the head coach. There is too much going on in this game for you to deal with on a minute-by-minute basis to be getting your head caught in a playbook. I'd like to see him change that in the offseason if I were to give him one really strong suggestion.
With that said, though, always having the possibility to make, to tell the offensive coordinator, this is what we're going to do on a particular play.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, that's what Tom Coughlin did. No, that's what Bill Parcells did.
No, I understand, but that's not always of course.
Well, those are Super Bowl winning head coaches.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out. I agree with you 100%, but yeah. I'm just saying it's not always of course.
No, you're absolutely right. That's not the way everybody does it. That's the way I would do it. Guys, you know where I've cut my teeth. I mean, those principles are going to stick with me for a long time.
Before I let you go, I
got to
ask you this, and you know why I'm asking you this question, because I respect your football acumen, okay? All right?
Go ahead.
Mike McCarthy, what do you think of him as head coach?
I think Mike McCarthy's game day coaching, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When it comes to the postseason, think about this. He'll get you there. He'll win you a lot of regular season games. He'll get you to the playoffs. He'll win you a lot of games there. But once you get into the postseason, think of how many times the Packers clearly had the better team in the postseason.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And even at home and lost.
I'm asking you your football acumen. I asked you. You answered.
My opinion, when you look at his postseason track record, there are a lot more questions and questionable decisions and poor decisions that he has made on game day in postseason games than really gets me excited. Again, if you just want to get to the playoffs, go get them. But if you really want to win a championship, to me, Mike McCarthy hurts your chances, because when push comes to shove in January, he's going to do something on game day that's going to put your team in a bind.
Very similar to Andy Reid.
Yeah. Let's hope I get the opportunity to complain about him in the playoffs. Let's hope I have that opportunity.
I understand that.
No, I know.
Evan, you're 1,000% correct, though. Mike McCarthy and Andy Reid, very, very similar track record.
Yep.
Except Andy doesn't have that championship.
Mike's got that ring.
No, that's one of the differences.
Right.
But we'll see.
Mike's got the one.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, Paul.
All right, guys.
See you, man.
Paul DeTino on the Giants.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.